This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, my name is Kathy and you're listening to the Sporty Spice edition of Hear Me Roar, Joy's all-female current affairs program. Co-hosting with me tonight are Leanne and Nicola. Welcome, girls.
Hello.
Good evening.
One more round. I'm going to try and see how many sporting puns I can pull out of my hat tonight too.
I thought we should have worn lycra, but that maybe not have been a good look.
I think that's a hat trick so far.
Boom. Yeah, game on, moles.
That went through to the keeper. I didn't get that one.
We're on a winner. Later on this hour, we're going to be talking to Lorraine Little and Barb West about being a gay sports person. Lorraine is a passionate volleyballer as part of the Melbourne Spikers and was co-president of the very successful first Asia-Pacific Out Games, which took place in Melbourne through midsummer last year. At the end of that, some money left over in the kitty, the organisers handed out grants to new sporting groups. Sporty Dykes is a social sports group which benefited. Barb West was one of the first women involved and she'll be talking about what the group does and how you can get involved if you'd like as well. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. Tonight we definitely need some interesting things for us to talk about. Give your team a plug, tell us about your favourite sport, your experiences as a gay sports person, or if you're a couch potato, what you like to watch during the Olympics. You can call us on 9699 2949, SMS 0427 joy 949, or email onair@joy.org.au.
Well, actually, I'm just getting a shake of the head from Bridget saying that our SMS and email aren't up at the moment, so...
Still, Techo said it was back, so we'll see. The lovely Jeanette's out there to take your call.
All right, well, 9699 2949, so give us a call. We could, you know, send out our own mobile phone numbers later on if we get really desperate.
Oh, my.
Oh, hello. Oh. That's very sporting of you.
It is. Oh, all fair is fair in love and war. Something like that. All right, to the news this week.
To the news, yeah. The first one that I came across actually was one that made me kind of furious, and I was like, we have to talk to the world about this.
Well, here's your chance, Nicola.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The world is listening. Yes. A Florida court has just thrown out a case where a lesbian had wanted to visit her dying partner in hospital and was essentially told, no, that's the gist of it. They had three children together. They were on holiday. And she had a brain aneurysm.
So and was this their local hospital? Well, or was it just any somewhere they had to stop by?
Basically, no, they were... Yeah, I think it was just when they were...
on holiday.
Yeah, Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami they were at.
Florida. So they were just in another state.
Yeah, and yeah, basically they'd been partners of 17 years. They had their kids with them. And taken ill... Went to, and basically she was told by the staff in the hospital that she wasn't in a gay friendly state, essentially.
Florida. Yeah. Well, Al Gore did lose the election down in Florida, didn't he?
That's right. But I mean, how distressing. Your partner's collapsed, obviously gravely ill. That's, you know, difficult enough. Mm. And then to be told you can't see her.
And she only got to see her in the last minutes when they were administering the last rites.
Yeah, last 5 minutes.
So she didn't get to say anything to her?
Not really, no. I mean, soon by that point,
17,
there'd be no kind
17
of
years. Now, we were talking about this off air. The law in Australia, and maybe someone else can help us out there with this, I think the law in Australia is very similar if you're in some states, because this is a state-based thing. If your partner is in the hospital and you are not the next of kin and your relationship's not legally recognised, does that mean then that you, if someone was gravely and you're in that situation, could you go in?
I think it's a very difficult one. I like to think there'd be compassion in a hospital in Australia.
Exactly. But I don't know. I think they've got rules about next of kin and things like that. Because, I mean, where do you... draw the line, I suppose, well, in terms of family and...
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've done is you can actually give medical power of attorney to your partner in the case that you're unable to make medical decisions yourself. So I'd imagine that by completing something like your legal medical power of attorney would have essentially rights to see you and be able to assess your situation. So I'd think from that perspective, but how do you prove that? You get to a hospital and you go... You know, if you've been rushed in, you've not been able to tell them who your next of kin is. How am I going to go home to the filing cabinet, pull out my piece of paper, come back and say, legally I'm allowed to be here?
Well, and I guess it's the same for heterosexual couples. It's just that they assume that if it's a woman in the hospital and a guy comes along and says, that's my wife, they go, fair
well,
enough.
Well, he could show ID and they could have the same surname.
True.
See?
Good point.
What if you lived at the same address if you showed ID? You know, would they consider that enough?
I don't know, but I think your point's pretty valid. They should just be showing compassion, really.
We need some emergency nurses to ring in and email in and tell us those
rules.
But this woman sued the hospital, didn't she?
She did, but...
And what happened?
Basically, the United States District Court for Southern District of Florida ruled against the case and threw it out, saying the hospital had no obligation to allow visitors to see patients.
That's outrageous.
Yep.
It's quite...
But yeah, basically, I mean, it's one of those horror stories. It really is.
Exactly. Because if you think, if it was any other, you know, so-called minority group or whatever, and this happened, can you imagine, I mean, the outcry? It's just cruel.
It is. But, you know, we should move on to happier news, I think. Or slightly happier, anyway.
We'll work our way out.
Exactly. This week in Tasmania... Well, today I believe it is. Same-sex couples, it's been said that they're going to be allowed to have official relationship ceremonies related to their... they currently have a register.
For, like we do
as they do in Victoria.
Exactly the same. But they've now said that they can have an official marriage celebrant. Conduct a ceremony about it, basically.
Which is awesome news, because the ceremonial part of civil unions / relationship registers has been such a hot potato in politics, and that's what's caused a lot of rift in the ACT legislation, where the federal government vetoed the ceremonial component of their relationship or civil unions bill because they didn't want it to mimic marriage, that old, you know, that old chestnut that they roll out. So, and Tasmania, isn't it funny though, Tasmania has the stereotype of being, you know, all a bit backward and, you know, not up to speed with the mainland, but that state, because of their gay lobbyists in down working hard down there, are actually one of the most progressive in Australia.
That's right, Rodney Croom and the gang down there. I remember when we didn't buy King Island cheese all those years ago to boycott Tassie.
Is that true?
True. There was this big thing that went out to gay and lesbian community that said boycott all the Tassie products, particularly the gourmet products, you know, so...
Wow.
And it really hurt their hip pocket. Now, I don't know that, I mean, obviously the activism and the lobbying has helped, but that was, you know, you start hurting a state financially and they start thinking about what they're doing.
All by not eating cheese.
Yeah.
What can we do in ACT? What do they grow there that we can boycott? Oh, yeah, or fireworks.
I actually thought it was quite nice. The Attorney General, Lara Giddings, said that in the past what people did was turn up to a registry office and, as you do, register your dog. Basically now people have got, it's got the dignity that their relationship deserves. I mean, it's true, writing your name down, you register a dog, right? You know, it's not the same registering a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of, you know, straight marriages, when they have the signing of the book and the whatever, that's part of the whole ceremony, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's more about making the commitment to that person in front of your closest friends and family, really. That's the bottom line.
Well, good on you, Tassie. Another reason to go and visit.
I hope it counts here, though. You know, because of the state-level stuff and the federal-level stuff, and everyone does their own thing. I hope
it counts overseas. I read that. But whether it actually counts in the rest of Australia?
Well, no, because they're all state-based, but hopefully it sets a precedent.
Fingers crossed.
Yay. That's right.
I do.
Oh, do you? Just do it.
Why not?
There you go.
There you go. Nike.
Hello. We weren't going to mention them. We're not going to...
Sorry. Well, next one is in the US, actually, and it's a really quite a positive story, this one.
Oh, good. Cranking up towards the gold medal here, Nick.
Basically, it's saying, oh, God. it's saying that American TV viewers are seeing more gay, lesbian and transgender characters and storylines on TV.
They're everywhere.
Well, yeah.
Well, look, we're far more interesting than your regular Joe, heterosexual couple. I mean, that stuff's been done for ages. It's time for to open a new box in terms of entertainment.
That's very true.
So to speak. Don't know what you've been watching.
It's a different type of sport.
You do wonder if they're just using us for new storylines or something. It's like a fad or something, and then
titillation.
It's just going to, you know, oh, we've done the gay thing.
Mm. That's right. Now we'll have what's
next. Let's move on to, you know, interracial marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying that that's not the case. In fact, gay couples are actually starting, you know, are appearing in shows with more meaty parts rather than just being token gay people.
Mm. I guess the change will be when they're a gay couple and the storyline isn't about them being a gay couple. Mm. It's about whatever happens around their lives, as with the other couples.
Yeah.
But it seems that the gay thing is still the focus of the attention.
Actually, yeah, because they were talking about some of the more complex storylines for the people, and it's saying, such as a gay couple looking to adopt a child and brother and sister. Wait, hang on. That's just... The only thing that makes that story is the gay fact.
Yeah. So adopting a child isn't really that important. It's kind of like when you're watching those old soap operas and they have this whole tokenism, and they always have an African American couple and they always are with another African American person, and there's always the two of them. There's all these little love and relationships, this inter amazing web of stuff going on, but those two are never with a white person.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like
that. Or actually involved in any of the other stuff that goes on. So look, let's hope that it's being looked at as representative of, you know, general community, but we're sounding a bit cynical.
Yeah, it now makes up 3% of all scripted primetime TV series. 3%. I mean, this is a good story because it's up from 2.6, but it's still only 3%.
Oh, well, probably Ellen
probably takes up, you know, at least 1.5% of that as well.
That's true. Mm. That's true.
She should. Now she's wonderful.
Well, now she will. She's on Idol. American Idol.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's one way to get to the rednecks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently they love, it's one of the things I've heard, the rednecks and the Bible Belt love American Idol. You get good gospel type singers.
Oh, right.
So Ellen, maybe Ellen's got a bit of a plan going on. I don't know. Trying to
world domination.
I thought she had a plan to earn $1 million.
Well, that too good an honour for that.
Exactly. What else is happening in the world?
Oh, Graham Norton in the UK. I don't know if have you heard of Graham Norton?
Yeah, I've watched him. Graham Norty.
Yeah, yes. He's a rather hilarious Irish TV presenter. Extremely, extremely camp gay man. And he's got in trouble for making a lesbian joke in his show.
Now, what did he actually say? Because I find this really fascinating about labels and stereotyping and all this kind of stuff.
Well, basically, there was an image of a woman on a patent application, and Graham Norton said, I don't know why they've got some strange lesbian to be the model. His guest said, she may not be a lesbian, come on now. And then she said, what do lesbians look like anyway? And Graham Norton said that. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with being a lesbian. But clearly the person was a bit... it was a picture of someone that was maybe, I don't know, strange in some way.
She wasn't wearing overalls and...
I think he did say something about a jumpsuit, but...
Is that a jumpsuit like Elvis, or a jumpsuit is like overalls?
I'm not sure. It's probably overalls.
Yeah.
Are we just getting a bit too PC about this stuff? Really? That hardly counts... For me, and it's another interesting thing about this: if a gay person makes a joke, and a gay man makes a joke about a lesbian, and I don't think that really that's too confronting or too controversial, really. But if a gay man makes a joke about a lesbian, is that as bad as like a straight man making a joke?
Depends on the depends on the context, doesn't it, and how it's taken. If it's sort of sexist and misogynist and whatever, maybe, but. I don't know. It's sort of like a bit of an in thing. Like, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think we're as far as I'm concerned, we're all one minority. We've got a lot more in common as such. And look, if I made a joke about a gay guy, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't get that offended. Gay guys don't tend to be as sensitive about that stuff. Well, again, look, there go stereotyping. Let's see, I'll get text messages now.
But you'd be hysterically funny about it too. And I think it's the level of humour in it. As well, I was thinking, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I was thinking I could start a TV series called Dyke Tips for Straight Chicks, but I don't reckon there'd be many episodes because my little joke was around, you'd only be sort of putting people in tracky decks. and they'd be home at 10 o'clock and with the dogs on the couch.
With the dogs, I was going to say, yeah, pet-friendly housing.
Now that's, let's see if we get in trouble for that, because if we do, maybe it'll prove us wrong that we're just ridiculously sensitive in every way, shape or form, no matter who says it.
Yeah, but you could give tips on how to go shopping at Bunnings and how to, you know, stock up your toolbox and all that kind of stuff.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
How to cook vegetarian meals.
Fantastic.
So poor old Graham Norton, he is funny. I can't remember which station he's on. He's on a late night. It's like about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I think he's
SBS or ABC 2 or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's the BBC bosses in the UK have said, you're in trouble. But it's funny that they actually, the programme team were reminded of the need to avoid any possibility of being seen to endorse offensive sexual stereotypes.
Yeah, well, you know what? They let Russell Brand get away with murder for however long. I just think people need to get over this stuff, honestly. Yeah. I don't find it offensive.
We're too sensitive. Let's chill.
Exactly. Would you chill if someone threw their bra at you?
I'd be delighted if someone threw their bra at me.
Oh, hang on. Give me a moment.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry, ooh, that's a winner. Get it?
You can't see now. 42 double D.
Yes.
I've got breast envy. Okay, anyways, moving on, bras.
Moving on, bras. Yeah, basically, LaRue, who people may know, the singer Ellie Jackson of LaRue, has become a bit of a lesbian idol of late, the ladies love her. And, you know, she is kind of hot. But recently she did an article with Heat magazine, and she said she found it bizarre that she gets women's underwear thrown at her. She says, it's the fact they think I want their bras. That's what's weird about it. One girl in Toronto stood there for ages with her boobs out. Everyone just thinks I'm a raging lesbian and I want to see everyone's boobs. Sorry, I'm not.
She's not a raging lesbian, or she doesn't want to see their boobs? Or both?
I reckon both.
Well, it's one of those rock things, though, isn't it? You know, like that women will go to a show and throw their underpants at rockers. I mean, you know, it's probably a bit distasteful to do it at a
rock. As long as they're clean.
Well,
no.
It'd be interesting to know whether those girls who throw their bras on stage actually take them off in the front row first, or if they bring a backup.
I was once on a train in the UK going to Cardiff and Wales where Tom Jones was performing that night.
Oh, he's a big under you throw recipient. Yeah,
I got the lowdown from this massive group of women much older than my mother telling me about the... have you got your underwear to throw? Aye, it's six sizes smaller than I normally wear. So they'd all gone out and bought special underwear.
Little filly sexy numbers.
Ah, to throw on the stage at Tom Jones.
Not the Bombay bloomers. Yeah. Not the peach coloured.
Not the cottontails then. They left them at home. It was like the leopard skin number that Bridget Jones goes out to wear when she's in that final scene.
Yeah, they're sexy undies, I think.
Someone gave me some crutchless undies once for a present, and I said, take them back. They've got a hole in them.
Were you serious?
No.
Dude, take him back and give him to Tom Jones or John Farnham. He's doing a circuit again. He'd probably like him.
LaRue doesn't anyway. She said, I don't care who comes to gigs or who likes music, as long as it's for the music and not because they fancy you. That's a shit reason to go to a gig. I think it's a perfectly valid reason.
It's an excellent reason. Why wouldn't you want... She's just saying she wants people who are purists about her music to attend her gigs.
Well, she needs to get real. Let's be honest. Hot performers have sold more records for so long. Look, there will be some individuals. I'm going to take Elton John as an example, who's not necessarily the hottest man on the planet. But
I wouldn't be checking my undies at Elton.
No, I don't.
He wouldn't. He'd probably wear them. But,
but yeah, basically... These people are probably paying your wages. It doesn't matter why they come to see your show. Just
I don't
be
think
grateful
you can
that
be,
they're
there. Yeah, fans are fans. And, I mean, obviously they want to be successful. Now, LaRue's actually in town, isn't she?
She's playing tonight.
Playing tonight.
Yep, playing tonight in Melbourne. And she's also playing Parklife. So, and that's on Saturday. So if you want to take a spare lacy number and give it a whirl. See what she does. And joining us now is Lorraine Little and Barb West, two gay sporty people. Welcome.
Hi there, folks.
Thanks, Kathy.
Now, look, we wanted to get you in tonight to talk all things sports, and both of you are involved in sport at a social and competitive level. So let's start with you, Lorraine. Tell us a bit about your sporty background, because you've been a long-term member of the Melbourne Spikers.
Correct.
And also involved with the very successful first Asia-Pacific At Games, which happened in midsummer last year.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I've I grew up in the country, so playing sport was about all there was to do, really. So fortunately, I was reasonably good at a lot of sports. And it's a really lovely thing to now have in your repertoire that you can, you know, get out there and play a different sport, not just volleyball, not just tennis, and be okay at it. And for me, I've always tried to combine competitive and social, particularly in the kind of trying to engage and encourage participation. I'm always the first one to be talking about, look, it's not about elite sport. QSAM, the out games, gay games, whatever, they're actually just about trying to get as many people from as many backgrounds and fitness levels to participate. And all of the out games model, the gay games model is that you can participate at the very entry level, or you can be an ex-Olympian. I think one of my favourite stories actually was before the Montreal Out Games. We had a function at DT's, and Judy Small, the well-known folk singer, feminist, mm-hmm. lesbian mm-hmm. icon, was there. And I said, "Oh, you know, are you going to the game?" She said, "Yes, I'm playing tennis." I said, "Oh, okay." And she said, mind you, 3 months ago, I didn't know which end of the tennis racket to hold. And I said, so, it's not a guitar. Why are you going, Dahl? You know? Mm. And she said, oh, well, my girlfriend plays tennis, and I figured I was going to go along anyway, so I might as well play. And then we had a function at the end of the whole games at DT's, and said, oh, Judy, how did you go? She said, I'm addicted. I had the best time of my life, and I'm going to go to every one of these events till I die.
Well, there's something to be said for endorphins, certainly, with exercise. But with the out games in particular, that was such a huge event. And we had it in the middle of midsummer, which was obviously very strategic, because, you know, every gay man and woman and his her dog sort of comes out for the festival. But what was some of the... Because it was just so much participation in that as well. You guys must have been really pleased with that.
Oh, look, absolutely tremendously satisfied and excited that it attracted broad participation. I mean, it was a first step, and it was really important for us to try and just, even if we didn't achieve the number of, say, direct participation from the Asian and Pacific regions, that the first step was that we'd identified and made contact with. So there's a dialogue happening, there's conversations now happening in that region that weren't there before, and they will absolutely be followed up on and built upon by Wellington in 2011. Ooh. Oh, plug.
That's all right. So, Lorraine, when you were growing up and playing sport in the country, was there sort of stereotypes around girls that played sport as being tomboys, butch? Even, I don't think gay was probably a word that people would use.
Oh, look, I don't think butch or per se, because it was a country region and sport is what everyone did. And so there wasn't really a distinction between one female and another female playing sport. You played sport, and some of us were better at it than others. You know, it was actually, it was more critical, I think, in fact, for gay guys, because in fact, in country areas, if you were a gay guy and you weren't terribly interested or engaged with, or had been in fact subject to persecution or just complete and utter bastardry, and I don't mean that literally, you know, that they were less likely to in fact engage in sport,
and therefore time.
There was very little for those guys to do.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey, isn't it? Because I suppose a lot of us can all relate to joining a sporting team when we're young or in school playing sport. But to taking the leap to being in a team at school to then joining a team full of gay people is an interesting progression, do you think?
Well, I think for me, I actually played volleyball at quite, you know, at a pretty high level when I was fitter and younger. And so that was in the broader community. And this is, again, in fact, one of the things I really like about what QSAM and all the different sporting events encourages, or the sporting clubs, is that primarily the sporting club becomes the first point of contact for a lot of people to join a sporting activity. And then, they're primarily social, bit of training, etc., some more so than others. But if you then want to or had the skills already to play at a more competitive level, club teams form out of that club and go and participate in, you know, the broader straight community competition. So I play on a Thursday night normally in Dandenong in a straight competition. but with a team that's made up of some lesbians and some straight women.
You might just want to explain QSAM, the acronym.
Thank you, Leanne. Queer Sports...
They might think it's somebody that we know, but we don't know.
Yeah, Queer SAM. No, it's Queer Sports Alliance Melbourne, which is, you know, in the umbrella organisation for any sporting queer sporting club in Melbourne or sporting activity.
So out of the Asia Pacific Out Games, you guys somehow miraculously made a profit, which was outstanding.
A lot of Lamington.
What a raffle.
A lot of oranges at half time.
Yeah.
So from that, you set up a legacy fund and delivered grants to different sporting groups. And I'd like to introduce Barb to the panel here. Now, you're involved with Sporty Dykes.
I am.
Which is a group that came out of this. Can you tell us a bit how it all formed and the sort of progression?
Sure. Actually, it probably owes more to Lorraine than it does to me because I was part of the group who inherited it after the money was won. But I do know that it was a number of the women who were representatives of various QSAM sporting groups in Melbourne, being somewhat concerned about women's participation in sport, that a lot of the queer sporting groups that are co-ed aren't entirely co-ed. They're far more male than female. And the horrendous sort of data out there on lesbian health. And so wanting to come up with a venue where lesbians could get together and play some sport without the pressure of being watched by somebody who might be, they think is judging them. It probably doesn't happen, but they may feel judged. And so applied for the money, and they won $1,000 to start Sporty Dykes. And that was, when was the money handed out, Lorraine?
The grants were made public end of last year, effectively for projects starting this year.
Yeah. And the first event was a barbecue at Kittanny Gardens in, November of last year. And probably 40-some-odd women turned up with frisbees and softballs and cricket bats and grills and meat and lentils and whatnot. And we
lentils
just had
on a barbecue? I'd like to see that.
I was just thinking you sometimes just need the baseball bats to go through the Kittanny Gardens, but
it was a fabulous event, and from there we started regular monthly events in March. That's when I was part of the committee, and we started, and we've been going every month since then, indoors in the winter, outdoors in the better weather.
So you cover a range of sports. What sort of stuff have you done already, Bob?
Well, we started with crossball. There were a group of lesbians who wanted... I know, you're looking at me like... it's not a sport, it's an activity. But yet there was a group of women who were starting a crossball club because they were a bit older, they were a little bit unfit, some of them, and they just remembered this game from their childhood. And so, let's get a competitive version of this going.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut you in here because there's a few of us sitting in the dark looking and putting out their hands. Can you explain crossball? Because to me it's sounding a little bit like that thing that you do in the Ice Olympics. You know where you're
curling. Oh, not curling.
I want to form the first Australian leso or any first Australian curling team. Nicola, you're in. Excellent. Experience. We've got a captain.
Nicola's done. All right, so crossball. Give us a rundown.
You've got one basketball, two lines of... I guess up to, we were playing with six per side. Mm-hmm. And you throw the ball back and forth. And when you're at one, by the time you get to an end, you have to run back and get there before the ball gets there. And you're racing against another two lines of six people. It's really a drill.
We played it at primary school.
And I also think it was not a drill for netball training as well? Because it's really
ball handling skills.
And you wear nice short pleated skirts.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we did not require skirts. But this group got together and they asked, could we be your first event? And we're like, sure, because we took it on new at that point. And so I was actually overseas at that time, but apparently there were about 20 people who turned up at Albert Park to play some crossball in March and then went off and ate. And from there, we moved into softball, where unfortunately in April it was a rainy, hailstone-filled sort of 5-degree day, but 11 of us got out there and played softball, and then probably 20 of us came for lunch. and from there, we played frisbee golf and basketball. We joined Whiteout as part of the contingent up at Buller. We've done badminton and most recently volleyball.
Oh, wow.
God, you're covering a huge range. And I've got to say, though, this sounds more social than sporty because I'm hearing barbecue, drinking, you know, like lunch,
no, we long don't
lunches
drink.
And all that stuff.
This is I suppose at lunch if you wanted to order a beer or a drink, you'd be allowed to. But the point is we definitely focus on the sport first. We want to make sure that people turn up and play a game. And a lot of partners come later and join us for food. But the sporty person, and we've got people there who have never done a sport, but they, you know, I want to try something, or I want to meet new people because it's a safe, non-clicky, light of day, no alcohol, no pressure kind of event. And so, yes, it is quite social, but we have former Olympians who come to play, and we also have people who've never done anything. And so it's...
Well, frisbee golf sounds pretty non-threatening. I reckon I could cope with
that. How do you do that? Do you hit it with a stick?
No. You throw the frisbee to targets.
And then you chase it with the nearest.
There are two official frisbee golf courses in Melbourne, though we did not use one of them.
This is the Sporty Spice edition tonight. My name is Kathy, and joining me in the studio are co-hosts Leanne and
Martina
Nicola.
And Anna.
Sorry. Oh, I want to be Emily then.
Just on that, I'm going to jump in and do something we didn't talk about. With lesbians in sport, I don't know if it's... I still get a bit of a thrill when I find out that someone who's high profile mm-hmm. is a lesbian. Now, I don't know if that's just because of my interest in it, but it just seems that it's still a big deal. Do you two agree, disagree?
Agree that it's a big deal or agree that it's a thrill?
Well, both.
Oh, okay.
Depends on who it is, I guess.
Look, I would say both for me. And I think it's a great shame that it's still a big thrill. Or a big deal when a high-profile sports person does come out, because it just doesn't seem to make sense to me that there are any rational reasons, even from a sponsorship perspective,
of why they do it,
why they would feel like they have to be pressured to stay in the closet and not be out.
I don't know, when you compare the sponsorship money of a Maria Sharapova versus an Amelie Mauresmo, she gets hit
she's
bad.
She's hotter though.
But she's not.
It's a very good point. I mean, you could probably count on the one hand the amount, and they're all probably tennis players, aren't they?
Golfers, a couple of golfers.
And I'm sure there's a few basketball players too.
But they and don't probably come half out. The cricket side and probably
yeah.
half the...
Oh, yeah.
But it's easier in individual sports, I think, than it is in team sports, because in a team sport it's a lot of, you know, sort of touching and patting of people around you, and the sponsors don't want that kind of physical connection between same-sex attracted people, I think.
Whereas I remember years ago, the Australian cricket team, there was a woman that wasn't selected, a straight woman, and she was a little bit peeved and said it was because she wasn't a lesbian. And the good, I think it was the Herald Sun or one of those papers of that standard, for once reported on women's sport, but their headline was Trouble at the Crease.
She just had a field day with that time.
One of my friends was on the cricket team at that time, and it outed her to her family.
Well, there you go. If you didn't hear that,
public outing.
Yeah, it was.
There you go.
That's one of the interesting things talking about public figures and role models for people and women being inspired. And I think Leanne brought it up earlier just before when she asked you about whether or not, you know, you being involved in sport means you being a tomboy. There is a bit of a stereotype that all lesbians like to play sport or like to go bushwalking or do some sort of outdoor thing. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
It's a stereotype. And yes, a number of lesbians are really sporty and a number of sporty women are lesbians. But women who do male jobs, construction workers, straight or not, often get labeled in the same sort of way. Yeah. And so because sport is largely seen as a masculine realm in our society, that's changing, but only slowly, and some sports more than others. You can be a female tennis player and, you know, seem really girly, but the female basketball players have a bit tougher time of that because they do get in there and, you know, push each other around a little bit. And
well, that's one of the things about, you know, AFL, those high-profile male sports. I mean, the pressure on people to not come out in those sports is quite significant. And we've had a lot of talk in the, over the last 12 months about the AFL having an anti-homophobia code for its players, coaches, managers, as well as its fans. I don't know. Is that going to be... Is that ever going to change, do you think?
I think the interesting thing I was just mentioning to Kathy off air was to have a look at the report that Carolyn Simons and Vic Uni's been doing called Come Out to Play, mm-hmm. Because I think that's just really going to be the first overall information that we have about people's experiences of homophobia in sport from a personal perspective. And I think once you get that kind of critical evidence, hopefully that can add weight to forcing other sporting arenas to tackle the issue.
Exactly. Now, we've got a question, got a text in from someone, I think it's for Barb. It says, would you have sporting activities for the accident-prone, maybe sack racing or egg and spoon Lizzie style? Which I'm not quite sure what that is.
Well, we did our parenting show last week.
I don't think the egg and spoon is sort of reproductive technology, is it?
Isn't that, you know, sperm and turkey baster? You know. But we are doing another barbecue at Catani Gardens to coincide with Midsummer in January. Mm-hmm. And so those kinds of events would be perfect for...
That would be great.
Yes. So bring your spoon, bring your egg, bring your sack. We are certainly going to have a cricket bat and a frisbee and that kind of thing.
Yeah, look, I'd suggest if you're a bit accident prone, perhaps take the sack off your head and put it on your feet. But you're still going to fall over. So I don't know how that helps you for being accident prone. It seems, you know, you're
maybe
inviting trouble there.
Helps you practice your fall, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps so.
And for you, Lorraine, someone's asked, do you think that women's sport continues to have sexist uniforms like beach volleyball?
God, yeah. It's actually, thank you, whoever that is. Is that you, Grace? There's a number of reasons why I haven't pursued beach volleyball, partly because it's hard enough work anyway, playing volleyball, let alone on sand, because you can't jump. Well, I can't anyway. But, yeah, look, part of the reason I have to say, I find the uniforms that women beach volleyballers are forced to wear quite outrageous in themselves, in and unto themselves, but also then by comparison to the fact that the guys get there out there in their long boardy shorts and singlet tops, and the girls are in these ridiculous
skimpy
little up the clacker bikini bottoms.
But it's just a perv sort of sport, really. It's
reflective of so many mainstream sports that for women have, through sponsorship, been convinced to go down that path in order to gain more sponsorship. So you look at the spate of calendars, you know, the sexy golfer calendars and et cetera, which was about making it something appealing to the broader community. We keep perpetuating, and as Barb said before, the discrepancy between sponsorship dollars for a Maresmo and a Cornacova.
Well, that kind of plays into the whole, you know, issue of women's sport in the media in general, because it receives such a far less space. Well,
apparently, only women's sports people in Australia participate when the Olympics are on. We don't do anything for the rest of the 4 years.
No, we
don't play anything, and only comes into it when they win the gold and dominate in the pool, and all of a sudden, oh my God, there are all these female sports people in the paper, and then they disappear for another 4 years.
Well, like the attention someone like Stephanie Rice got over the Olympics as opposed to Jessica Schiffer. And if we look at those two women and their marketability, one's gone on to do, you know, numerous Bonds undies ads, where the other one's kind of faded into obscurity because she's not as attractive.
That's right.
That's right. But we've had so many world champions in sports that aren't sort of the sexy sports anyway. I mean, even surfing, Wayne Beachley, I mean, fantastic. There was, you know, years ago, Heather Mackay was world champion in squash for years and years and years. And they're not household names.
We've got an awesome text message in, which is from the non-sporty side. I said, it's my Chris is a failed lesbian. She hates sport. And that's from Carol.
So. Oh, well, it's just an exception to the rule, really.
Well, that's the other thing about sports. You don't have to necessarily do it to enjoy it.
No, you need cheer squads. You need personal masseuses after the event. You need people to bring out your oranges. You know, there's a lot of roles to be played.
That's
but
right.
Look, on a more serious note, and I've always said this throughout the Out Games, throughout my time with Spikers, and I would now reiterate that for any of the clubs or activities that are part of QSAM, it's just about encouraging people to go out there and give it a try. And that's why something like the Sporty Dykes is fun, because they have some of the more known traditional sports, but as Barb's just explained before, there was, you know, frisbee golf and crossball. And so it's really just get out there, have a go, and utilize the networks that are out there as a way of socializing, meeting new people. There was a couple of British girls who were there at basketball and were there at volleyball again, who said that this has been the best thing for them because they've met people. And all of the sports clubs over so many years, that's what you hear again and again from the membership, is that it's just such a lovely, less threatening or non-threatening way to find their way into a community if they're new into town or et cetera.
Yeah, we've had some people come in from the country, a woman from Shep, lonely up in Shepparton, but every on the third Sunday of every month she comes down to play sports with us.
And it's the easiest way of feeling of belonging to a group, isn't it? To be in a team, and whether you win or lose, just having that camaraderie and that shared experience. I mean, there's nothing better. Winning's best, of course. But as, could we just say, a pity we haven't got live cam. Lorraine's got her medal on, winning is fantastic. Congratulations.
Yes, winning a bronze medal in the volleyball with the Polish team at the Copenhagen World Out Games. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, as I said, I think to you in my 3 o'clock in the morning text message, Kathy, it took me 16 or 20 years of these damn competitions and breaking, even organised my own out games here in Melbourne and didn't get a damn medal. So, you know, desperate measures, had to go with the Polish team.
That's it. Well, congratulations. It's been awesome. Now, look, for all our listeners out there who want to get involved in Sporty Dykes or who may want to get some information about QSAM, which is an umbrella group that covers a whole range of sports from volleyball to swimming, running and even dance sports, give us some websites and some info.
Yep, Sporty Dykes is available on Facebook, and if you just go into the search engine on Facebook under Sporty Dykes, we're there. We also have a blog, sportydykes.blogspot.com. Either way, you'll see all the photos from our various events and you'll get the updates. If you come to our next event on October 18th in Edinburgh Gardens, we're playing softball again, hopefully this time without the hail and the rain, though there's no guarantees. Then if you want to be on a private email list, I'll take your email and you'll get the announcements that way. We do have hundreds of members now. We've got 82 on Facebook, 50 private ones, and a bunch of bloggers.
Fabulous. And for QSAM?
Well, for QSAM, it's queersportsmelbourne.org. And going on there, you'll get access to all the established clubs in terms of links. Also, they've got emerging sports, and they have a weekly or monthly calendar. So all the clubs that have regular training session times are listed on the calendar.
Not a pictorial calendar.
No, not a non-pictorial calendar. But also, if you're a part of a group that or an individual whose sport isn't represented there in any way, you can also email in, and they can hopefully then link you up with a non-formal group of people doing
Excellent.
That sport.
Well, thank you so much to you both for coming in and sharing your sporty stories with us.
We'll let you jog home now.
I'll be riding my bike.
I'm inspired. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.